are now listening to the CRC Discover Life podcast, brought to you by Pastor Adboso. We trust that this message will change your life forever.
And then, of course, our television audience right now, yeah, in Bloemfontein, we welcome you all across America, in Africa, Europe. Come on, give them a big God bless. Amen. Amen. Look at the person next to you and say, you are going to be a love bug. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1. The Bible says, therefore, be imitators of God as dear children and walk in love as Christ has also loved us and given himself for us. Everybody say love. It's love that makes the world go round. Somebody say love. Say love. Lift up. Whatever your language is this morning, shout it out. Shout the word love in your language this morning. Come on, whatever it is, in the name of Jesus, shout that name of love. Ephesians 5, verse 1 and 2 in the Message Bible. The Bible says, watch what God does, and then you do it like children who learn proper behavior from their parents. Mostly what God does is love you. Keep company with him and learn a life of love. I want to start this morning talking to you about imitating God, walking in love. Love, the acid test of Christianity. Love, maybe the greatest challenge we have as Christians and something our nation needs right now. Amen, South Africa. More than ever, we need a display of God's love. We need to see God in manifestation. In John chapter 13, verse 34 and 35, Jesus said, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. He taught us in Matthew that we are to love our neighbor as we love ourselves. So if we are going to walk in love, we need to first be loved by God. And I believe this morning that God is going to give you a new revelation of the love that he has for you in this place this morning. And as you discover how much God loves you, you are going to go out of this place and you are going to go and love your world in the name of Jesus. Amen. Jesus taught us to love our enemies. Jesus taught us to bless those who curse us. Jesus taught us to be kind. Jesus taught us to render to no man vengeance for vengeance. South Africa, we need a baptism of love. If you believe it this morning, give the Lord a praise in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. 1 John chapter 4, verse 7, the Bible says, my beloved friends, let us continue to love each other, since love comes from God. Everyone who loves is born of God and experiences a relationship with God. The person who refuses to love doesn't know the first thing about love, because God is love. We need to follow people that love. We need to be imitators of God and walk in love. Everything we do and say should be motivated by love. Amen. So the Bible says this is how God showed his love for us. God sent his only son into the world so that we might live through him. This is the kind of love we are talking about. Not that once upon we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son as a sacrifice to clear away our sin and damage they've done to our relationship with God. My dear friends, if God loved us like this, we certainly ought to love each other. No one has seen God ever, but if we love one another, God dwells deeply within us and his love becomes complete in us. Perfect love. God is love. And when we take a permanent residence in a life of love, we live in God and God lives in us. This way, love has the run of the house. I love that. This way, love has the run of the house. Not my anger, not my resentment, not vengeance, but love. Somebody say love again in Jesus' name. Verse 19, the Bible says, we are going to love and be loved. First we are loved, now we love. He loved us first. I want to talk to you this morning about God's love for you. How much God loves you. And I want to give you 3-4 things about God's love this morning that I believe is going to prepare us to be the church and the people that God wants us to be in South Africa. Number one, God loves you, and God loved you in spite of you. When you were the furthest away from God, when you were the most rebellious, when you were the most disobedient, God loved you. When you were an enemy of God in your mind and you were not looking for God, God loved you. When you were a sinner bound by things in this world, God loved you. Romans 5 verse 8, the Bible says, God demonstrated His love to us. While we were sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. Oh, hallelujah. You are saved today because of the love of God. That God loved you in spite of you. God loved you because of you. God loves you with a never-ending love in Jesus' name. In Ephesians 2 verse 8, the Bible says that God, who is rich in mercy because of His love with which He loved you. You need to understand this morning that God is not mad with you. God is not angry with you. God is not sitting in heaven finding fault with you this morning. God loves you in spite of you. He loves you with a perfect love, even though you may be imperfect. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2 verse 4, but God, who is rich in mercy because of the love that He loved us with. Now the word mercy means God's willingness and God's ability to treat you better than you deserve. I thank God this morning, God never treats us according to our sin and our iniquity. He never deals with us according to our transgressions. He deals with us according to His love. Can you say amen and give the Lord a shout of praise in this place? Think about that woman at the well of Samaria, the one Jesus had a lengthy conversation with. I mean, she had five husbands, and the one she was living with was not her husband. The disciples had gone away to buy food. Jesus was tired, and He has this discussion with this woman. He loves her where she is, as she is, and for who she was. She's an unclean woman. She was maybe a player, a woman that was used to being abused. But Jesus loved her in any case. He loved her in spite of her. He settled her heart, and He addressed every need that she had. He touched her spiritual need. He touched her social need. And He touched her emotional need. See, my dear friend, this woman, although she was a sinner, she was a religious person. She was looking for God, but in the wrong place. So when Jesus talks to her, she has a religious conversation with Jesus. And He says to her, you won't find God in a place. You will find God in a relationship. I am the gift that you are looking for. Once you have drunk of this water, you will never thirst again. So He touches her spiritual need. The second thing He touches in her is her social need. One of the greatest needs in human beings, the need to belong. Just love me where I am. She's a woman that's abused by men. She's a woman with a tarnished reputation. Not only that, she's a Samaritan. She's a social outcast. And yet Jesus comes as a Jew, and He has a conversation with her, and He loves her in spite of her, in spite of the laws and the rules of the day. When the disciples came back, they were amazed that Jesus was speaking to that kind of woman, the Message Bible says. You see, my dear friend, God never sent Jesus into this world for perfect people. He sent Jesus into this world for people like you and me, people who need a Savior, people that were blind, people who were lost, people that were not perfect, people that need the grace of God in Jesus' name. And then He loved her emotionally. The greatest need for human beings is to be loved unconditionally. Is to love you for who you are. I think in the world, when we talk about love, we understand love differently. But God doesn't love you the way people love you. God loves you because He cannot deny Himself. The Bible says God is love. He doesn't have love. He doesn't have off days, bad days, good days. He's your Father that loves you in spite of you, which brings me to point number two. He's your Father that loves you unconditionally. He loves you with an agape love, a love that is not based on your performance, not based on your works, not based on what you do. He loves you because He is God. He loves you because of His sacrifice, Jesus, whom He sent 2,000 years ago. You know, when people say to us, I love you, in the back of our minds, we always think, well, until when? Because if you've lived long enough, you've seen people that love you until, people that walk out on you, maybe your father, maybe a husband, maybe a close friend, maybe a preacher that failed you, something. And somehow, when we hear God loves us, we have this tainted picture of what God's love is. Because somehow in our own minds, we want to love people up to a point. We love people, and in our minds we have this rule written, we will do unto people as they do unto us. But God teaches us the opposite. He says, as you would have people do unto you, you also do unto them. God says, if your enemy thirsts, then give him a drink. If he's hungry, give him food. If he is cold, then clothe him. The opposite to the world that shouts vengeance, come on, retaliation, vindication. God says, no, you are my children in this world. You imitate me by walking in the same love that I loved you with. Oh, this is a challenge, my dear friend. I think I understand why Paul said, I die daily, because I have to die daily. Because sometimes I want to step out of this love walk. When we talk about imitating God, then surely the highest expression of God is in the world of love. That God loves unconditionally. That retribution is not God's way. That retribution is not God's way. Restitution, yes, but reconciliation, yes. Retribution, no. Injustice anywhere is wrong. I said again, injustice anywhere is wrong. If we want to see a reformation in our country, which I believe we are going to see, it needs to be a reformation fueled by the love of God. Come on, say amen. In the name of Jesus, we cannot just experience the love that God has for us. And then we don't go and give God's love to those in our world. And we will define what that means next week. But you need to know this morning that God loves you unconditionally. There is nothing you can do that will make God stop loving you. There is no place you can be where the love of God will not find you. When Jonah ran away from the presence of God, we know that God prepared a whale for him. That was the mercy of God. And when he was thrown overboard, God caught him. Because God is a God of a second chance and a third chance and a fourth chance. Come on. When Samson, when his eyes was taken out and he was stumbling around in blindness, maybe the loss of vision because of sin in his life, and he was tied to a mill, grinding away around and around. God was merciful to him. And the Bible says his hair began to grow again. I want to tell you that God is merciful, that God is loving, that his loving kindness is better than life. I don't care what you've done, where you've been, how good you've been, how bad you have been. There is nothing that can separate you from the love that God has for you. Even when Peter ran away from Jesus after denying him, there was somebody chasing him. It wasn't another disciple. It was Jesus, because Jesus said to Peter, I'm not about to give up on you. You're not going to be a reed. You are going to be a rock. You are going to be everything I predestined you to be. Come on, that's good preaching. Somebody shout amen and give the Lord a praise. Hallelujah. Nothing can separate you from the love that God has for you. Nothing. No place you can go where the love of God will not be. Oh, people backslide. People run away from God because when they mess up, they think, oh, I've done it once too often. God can't love me. God says, no. I love you. This is the greatest love story ever told. It's a love between God and humanity. And if we're not secure in the love that God has for us, nothing else will work. The Bible says faith works by love. Every relationship that works is founded in the love of God. Treating people better than they deserve. Acting with mercy and kindness. Displaying the nature and the character of God. Romans chapter 8 verse 35, the Bible says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. I don't know what you are facing, but you're not alone. I don't know how dark your valley is, but God is right there. He's not about to abandon you. He's going to walk you through as the good shepherd. He's the friend that sticks closer than a brother. Even if you made a mistake, God will still vindicate you. And God is going to stand with you. He's never going to write you off. He's never going to turn his back on you. There is nothing people can do that will put you outside of the reach of God. God is always there and God is always for you. My Bible says, if God is for us, who can be against us? It says, I'm persuaded that neither death nor life, angels or principalities, nor power, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. You know, yesterday I celebrated 32 years full-time in the ministry. Come on, can somebody celebrate with me? Amen. I'm grateful for God's grace. And I'm grateful for all the people that have helped me. the lovers and the haters. Amen. Even the haters have made me more determined. And the lovers have cheered me on, and I salute each and every one of you. I feel 32, so I'm telling you, by the grace of God, there's another 32 years to preach the gospel and do more than we've ever done as a church, CRC, to alleviate the pain and the suffering in our world. Come on, in Jesus' name. I'll talk about that next week. Thank you. God bless you. Take your seat. But sometimes in these years of ministry, people have come to me and say, oh, Pastor, my grandmother did this. I'm under a curse. And I've said, no, Christ has broken the curse. There is nothing that can put you outside of the reach of the grace and the love of God. Nothing. Oh, you may feel lonely, but you're not alone. You may have a little bit of despair, but God is right there to lead you and to guide you. Nothing can separate you from the overwhelming, the extravagant love that God has for you. Oh, I want you to believe it this morning. I want you to receive it this morning. Like the Apostle John said, we know and we believe in the love that God has for us. We know and we believe in the love that God has for us. God is love. He's not judgment, he's not anger, he's love. When that woman was caught in adultery and the religious leaders were ready to stone her, Jesus went to her and covered her nakedness and removed her shame, healed her pain and restored her, and then said, go and sin no more. You see, my dear friend, somebody that has not experienced the unconditional love of God, acceptance where they are, will never change. So it's not our job to point fingers to an angry politician or fingers to somebody out there. It's our job to pray that God will bring a Christian that will just go put their arms around that brother or that sister and love them. Because my Bible says love never fails in Jesus' name. Come on. Love never fails. We are believing God for an outpouring of love in South Africa. We are believing God for a God intervention across South Africa, that this land will be healed and united by the power of the Holy Ghost. Come on. What the enemy has sought for our destruction, God's going to turn around for our blessing. This nation is blessed. This nation will be a blessing to the nations of Africa and to the nations of the world. We will be different because of the presence of God. Can you shout amen in Jesus' name? Hallelujah. But we have to love as we were loved. He says, love as you were loved. Oh, sometimes we want to love from our corner, but God never loved from his corner. He left his world, he left his corner, and he invaded our world as we should do. We should invade the world of those that are different to us. We should invade the world of those who are less fortunate than us. We should be the good news through displaying the unconditional love of God. I heard this week that 62% of children born in South Africa are born without fathers. And all people can still think about is me, myself, and I, and we have a nation crying. We have a nation hurting. We need to get our eyes back on Jesus and believe God for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. We need to believe like the Apostle Paul said in Galatians. He said, let love be a real thing. And we're going to talk about this next week. When you see your brother in need, don't just say, I love you. And you don't give him what he needs. You don't help him find an education. You don't empower him. You don't give him the skill that he needs. How does the love of God dwell in you? I think we've stopped at just wanting to feed people. We have to feed people, but we have to do more. We have to empower. We have to use what God's given us, like some wonderful doctors in our church that are removing cataracts for free and are doing many, many things for people in the community. That's what we should do. That's what our country is needing. People that will demonstrate the unconditional love of God. People that will go back into their world and say, I will bring you up to where I am, and you don't have to give me anything for it in Jesus' name, because that's what Jesus came to do. He came into a broken world, a fallen world, and he lifted us up. We're not in the putting down people business. We're in the lifting up people business. Christians are in the lifting up. If you see somebody that says irresponsible things, lift him up to God. Like a wife lifts up a husband in prayer. Lift these political leaders up. Lift them up.
Say, Father, we bring our president. Father, we bring the leader of this. Father, we bring the leader of that one. And do you think God's not going to hear our prayer? That brother may be like Paul on the road to Damascus, breathing out threats and violence, ready to persecute. And God will come. God will intervene, because God's not dead. God is not asleep. God is more powerful than the devil. Any day of the week, come on, what God has meant will be. What God has blessed will be blessed. South Africa will be blessed in the name of Jesus. But we are not there to judge, as Jesus never judged this woman. He loved her where she was, forgave her, and said, go sin no more. He loved her unconditionally. Number three, the love of God is endless. Oh, it has no end. It has no beginning. It has no end. Paul prays in Ephesians chapter 3, says that we may understand, comprehend the love of God that surpasses knowledge. Because in our natural minds, we cannot even fathom the beginning of the love that God has for us. If I think how much I love my children, my grandchildren hasn't even seen what is coming their way when they are born. Amen. Because I've practiced on my children. God has practiced on many generations. We should be the most loved generation in the world. In the name of Jesus Christ, there is no end to the love of God. There is no place you can go where the love of God will not be. There is no depth you can sink to where the love of God will not be. His mercy is endless. His grace is endless. Oh, people love up to a point, not God. Because 2,000 years ago, at the cross of Calvary, God cut a new covenant with you and me. A covenant of grace and mercy. Sometimes people come and they say, but Pastor, you have to preach both sides of the coin. No, I'm going to preach God. God who is a loving God. God who is a merciful God. God who came and said it's a new day for the church. It's a new day for my people. I will no longer be angry with your sins and your transgressions. Your sins and your iniquities I will no longer remember. I will treat you better than you deserve. I will love you endlessly. I will love you to the end of your life. I will love you to the ends of the earth. And be a final moment of somebody that's lived without God, and with a final breath they can say, Jesus, save me. And God is going to save them at the end of their life. We don't understand it. Sometimes we get mad and our flesh wants to run away, and we think, my name is Annie and I'm going to get a gun. It's payback time. Enough is enough. Not God. God loves endlessly. David says in Psalm 139 verse 7, where can I go from your spirit, or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into the heavens, you are there. If I take the wings in the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, you are there. I skip that. Even though your hand shall lead me, your right hand shall hold me. Who's the right hand of God? It's Jesus, seated at the right hand of the Father. Your right hand will hold me. Jesus promised, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. Come on. When you walk in for that job interview, I'm with you. When you go through that crisis, I'm with you. My right hand will hold you in Jesus' name. If I say, surely the darkness shall fall on me, even the night shall be light about me. Indeed, the darkness shall not hide from you. But the night shines as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to you. Ephesians chapter 3, Paul prays that God would grant unto us, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in our hearts through faith, that you should be rooted and grounded in the love of God, that you may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width, the length, the depth, the height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with the fullness of God. It's only as we come to understand the love of God that we will receive what God has for us. But Paul says the love of God is like a vast ocean. There's no place you can run where God's love will not be. There's no place you can hide, Jonah, where God's love will not be. You can say, I want nothing to do with God. God says, I want everything to do with you. You can turn your back on God, but when you turn around, God is right there. He's never going to turn his back on you. He loves you endlessly. Oh, come on. That's good news this morning. He loves you like nobody else has ever loved you. And then number four, he loves you sacrificially. John chapter 3 verse 16, the Bible says, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. When humanity cried out, God, how much do you love us? God answered through the cross. A statement, not a religion, of intent, of relationship. That I love you because I'm God. There's nothing you can do, no place you can go where my love will not find you. 2,000 years ago, listen to me, in South Africa, 2,000 years ago, when we asked God, how much do you love us? God sent his son to the cross. The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 53, it pleased the Father to put on the Lord Jesus the iniquity of the whole world. I mean, Jesus separated from the Father. Jesus crying out in the Garden of Gethsemane, Father, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will be done, but thy will be done. A dramatic moment, but a moment of love, supreme love, sacrifice. He went to the cross and he stretched out his arms and he died. And with his final breath, he says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Still today, that is the intercessory prayer that Jesus makes for you and me. That is the advocate in heaven, his work, Father, forgive them, displayed by Stephen when he was stoned in Acts chapter 6. He said, Father, lay not the sin against their charge. Forgive them. Forgiveness? Forgiveness? Forgiving those who sinned against you? The highest act of love displayed by God for humanity. When we understand the love that God has for us, we realize that we cannot love our world without that love in us. Romans 5 verse 5, the love of God shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. We ourselves need a baptism of love. The church in South Africa needs a baptism of love. The love of the Holy Ghost. Oh, we will get. Chapter 2 is restitution, revival, reformation, restitution. Reconciliation. But there can be no reconciliation without forgiveness. Forgive me, Father. 1 John 1 verse 9. If any man have sinned, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. That if you confess your sin, he's faithful and just to forgive you and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Think about the love that God has for us. How many times did Israel play the harlot? How many times have you sinned against him? And still God doesn't hold your sins against you. When you come and you say, Father, he says, I have already forgiven you for his name's sake. He loves you sacrificially. This love walk involves sacrifice. This love walk involves going beyond our comfort, going beyond our cultures, going beyond our circles, going beyond our pleasures, our likes and dislikes. This love involves imitating the love that we have received from the Father. People that are still broken in their hearts have never received the love that God has for them. I was an angry young person, but that was until the love of God came and settled something in me, giving me an understanding and a love for my enemies, a love for those that previously I had no time for. Church in South Africa, we need an outpouring of God's Holy Spirit. We need God's love in our hearts when we think about one another, when we talk about one another. We need God's love, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. A love that thinks no evil. A love that seeks not its own. A love that is not destructive. A love that is caring and forgiving. A love that is responsible, and we will get there next week. A love that is not controlled by a spirit of greed and materialism, but a love that imitates God, that God so loved that he came, that we as Christians will imitate our Father, not because we have to, because it won't last, but because we ourselves have experienced this extravagant, amazing, unconditional, ends to the earth love that God has for us. When you experience that, something changes in you. You love God back, number one, and then it's not you read the Bible and now I have to love my neighbor and you grit your teeth. No, no. You no longer have the heart of stone. You no longer have the heart of vengeance. You no longer have the attitude of retribution. You now have the attitude of mercy and restitution and restoration and reconciliation and healing and blessing, because that's the God that we serve. I need somebody to shout amen. I know I'm messing with some people's minds, but you need to praise God because that's the word of God. Come on, CRC. Give him a praise in Jesus' name. Hallelujah.
If this powerful message has touched your life and you'd like to give your life to Jesus, pray the following prayer with Pastor Utt.
Say, Lord Jesus, I give you my life. I give you my heart. Thank you for loving me just as I am. I believe with all my heart that you died for my sin, that you rose from the grave, that you are alive. Today, I accept you as my Lord, my Savior. I'm home. Thank you for loving me. I love you back, Father. I put my life in your hands. Thank you. But I'm your child now and forever. I'm home. I belong to you. In Jesus' name, amen and amen and amen.
Thank you for listening to our podcast. For more information on CRC, visit www.crc.org.za.